ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Quick Smart, and you're listening to our summer season. We'll return with fresh episodes soon, but in the meantime, please enjoy our special curation of our favourite Quick Smart episodes. Browsing the racks at an op shop is a classic pastime for many Aussies, myself included. And while there's still amazing vintage finds around, a lot more secondhand stores seem to be filled with bad quality, discarded fast fashion. Australians buy more clothes per person than in any other country, and research suggests these clothes, often made with synthetic fibres, are becoming the new single-use plastic. I'm Siobhan Marin. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. So when did we start wearing plastic? Why exactly is polyester problematic? And what can we do to decrease our fashion footprint? Someone who's been cataloguing their closet is Anna Levy. So good to have you on Quick Smart.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Anna, I know you love a vintage nylon number, but how much of your own wardrobe is plastic?
Oh, probably so much more than I would even imagine. What I found through researching this story is that it sneaks into everything. So even things that feel really soft or really woolly or fluffy, often when you look at the label, there'll be some polyester in there, there'll be some rayon, there'll be some nylon. So even though I try and go for things that are breathable, that are light and comfy to wear, often it's there anyway, whether you know it or not.
And you're clearly not alone. So you wrote this great article, and there was an expert from RMIT's School of Fashion and Textiles, who estimated 62% of the clothes in most people's wardrobes are made from plastic. Is that just pure polyester, or can you explain what the different types are?
Absolutely. So there's a number of different textiles that we use kind of all the time, and they're broadly categorized into three different types, if you will. The first one is natural fibers, and that's what many people would be familiar with, things like cotton, like silk, like linen, things that come from kind of vegetal matter or from animals, like wool, for example. Then you have artificial fibers. So those are kind of an interesting middle ground there. So they're things that are made from cellulose, which is basically the building parts of plants, most plants. Mm-hmm. And so there you get things like rayon, like viscose. Then you get to synthetic fibres, and that's where some of the really big problems come when we talk about ultra-fast fashion, because synthetic fibres are made from petrochemicals, which when polled, over half of Australians didn't know, which I find fascinating. So it comes from crude oil, it comes from petrochemicals, and then through a process of chemical kind of refining, it's eventually turned into these fibres that's spun into yarn, and then it becomes the fabric that we get used to buying in the shops.
When did we start wearing plastic in the first place?
So this really all kicked off around the mid-20th century. That's when you had the industrial chemical industry really take off. And basically, there was this iconic garment in 1939 that was released, which was the nylon stocking. That was a real change from the silk stocking, which had been the hot commodity of the time. Silk was really expensive. It was really hard to get your hands on. And particularly after World War II, the nylon stocking became this beautiful commodity to be traded, especially from soldiers returning and wanting to woo the ladies they were coming home to. So that really brought nylon as a synthetic fabric into the mainstream, and that introduced people to this idea of a fabric that wasn't what they were used to. It didn't have the feel of silk. It laid the path for future synthetic fabrics.
So it started with a stocking, but it grew from there, right? How did it change over the decades that followed?
It changed so dramatically. And if you think about the stocking itself and the fashion that came with that, obviously that takes you back to a really different time and place. It feels so divorced in my mind from the types of fast fashion that we have today. But basically what happened after kind of the Second World War is that you get into what they call the Great Acceleration. And this was a period around the 50s, 60s, where you had things like white goods coming into everyone's homes. So things like washing machines and electric irons. And suddenly you could wear comfortable clothes that could be made of synthetic fabrics, and you didn't need to have servants to clean them. You could, you know, be out and about, you could use your white goods, you could really emulate kind of the upper class lifestyle without having to have the manpower behind it. So that led to a lot of people in kind of the working classes and middle classes leaning into those products, whether it was nylon stockings or polyester outfits, easy care, easy iron things. It really led to this kind of feeling of futurism where everything was forward facing. The future was in these specially designed garments and the types of white goods that allowed you to live this real life of luxury.
Reading your article, you said that there's an inherent vice that comes with synthetic fabrics. What is it?
It's fascinating, and it's something that I really didn't expect to find. So when you think about a synthetic piece of clothing, whether it's a bag or whether it's something that you wear, most people know that that will take a long time to break down in landfill, that it's designed to be durable, often it's waterproof, often it's stretchy. That means it's not going to biodegrade like something made of cotton would. However, that doesn't mean they're going to last forever as clothes, which I find really interesting. So things like those beautiful vinyl go-go boots that are so iconic, like they'll get really cracked and slimy because that's just the way that vinyl will age. You know, other things like foam padding in bras from a few decades ago, like that will start to degrade in really kind of unattractive ways. And there's even something called devil dust, which is known in kind of the clothing conservation space as this really kind of noxious polyester dust that gets into everything when that polyester starts to degrade.
Oh, okay. Not nice visuals. Well, what should we be looking out for when it comes to, you know, everybody needs to buy clothes, either secondhand or new, every now and again? Are there specific types of garments we should steer clear from?
I think what it comes down to is just being aware of what you're wearing, what it's made of, how it was made in the first place, what it's going to do after you throw it away or you give it away. A lot of it comes down to reading the label and then doing a little bit of research to figure out what is viscose, what is rayon, what is polyester.
It makes me think, oh, I'd love to get more natural fibers into my wardrobe. They're not super good for the environment either, are they?
It really depends. I mean, they are better in some ways and worse in some ways, in that, of course, you're using what already exists. You're using, you know, the wool industry and the cotton industry. There are debates over how sustainable those are. But the biggest thing is that those industries, no matter how sustainable they might be, can't keep up with our kind of fast fashion sensibility.
And on a structural level, are there governments, countries that are trying to crack down on fast fashion?
There definitely are. I mean, France, interestingly, not long ago, back in June, announced that it would add a tax that amounts to about $16 Australian onto every ultra-fast fashion item sold. And they're also cracking down on the advertising of ultra-fast fashion. So I think we're still waiting to see how that will play out and how effective it will be. But, I mean, lots of advocates in Australia have been calling for the same thing to happen here. And it would be really interesting to see whether that does affect how people think about what they buy and how frequently they buy as well.
And we're in a new year. I'm seeing a lot of trends for 2025 at the moment in my own social media feed. Good to keep across, of course. But you've spoken to me about this concept of dressing for well-being instead. What is that?
It's a really lovely concept, actually. It was something that one of the experts mentioned to me when I was researching this story. And it's kind of this holistic idea of well-being. So it's not just about how do I want to feel in my clothes? Like, what do I want to say about who I am with my clothes and how I style them? But it's also about how comfortable I feel. Like, is this breathable? Does this move with me? Can I wash this the way that I want to wash it? Can I kind of wear it as often as I want to wear it? And thinking about well-being being not just for yourself, but also for the planet and your community. And so you can think about when you buy something, how does this make me feel? And what's kind of the impact I'm going to have on the world by buying it? And another hot tip that I read about a lot is just waiting a little bit, waiting 10 minutes or so or an hour before you click commit and you end up actually purchasing that thing. That's another way of just kind of taking a moment, thinking about what you need, how much you want it, and what it will do for your well-being.
One tip I saw online, which is if you want to get healthier and spend less, every time you want to buy something, you have to do a jog for a kilometer or two first.
Oh my God. I don't know what would win in me. I think laziness would win. I think I wouldn't buy, but that's genius.
Good for the environment.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for coming on Quick Smart.
My pleasure.
Quick Smart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. Thanks to my producer, Jessie Kay. If you like this chat, please send it to a friend or an op shop aficionado. And if you're into environmental issues and solving them in small but meaningful ways, make sure you check out our episode on over-tourism. And we'll put a link to Anna's article in our show notes.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.